Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning, everybody. It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. Very happy you could join us on this Saturday night, early Sunday morning, 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text any time throughout the show. Mr. Badish, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I am a little tired, but delightful. Glad to be here. Glad to be here. We were at, mentioning earlier, we went to an event tonight called Patrick Lives On. I had one of the stars of Chicago PD, LaRoyce Hawkins, on when I was filling in for Steve Cochran on Monday. Mm-hmm. And this event hit pretty close to home for me because I've got a young son the same age as this young man that they were honoring this evening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just like every young kid, he wants to be a little more independent. And he's driving his bike to school and walking and all that other good stuff. And, you know, sometimes we think with gun violence that it only happens on the South Side. It only happens in the black community. And that is not the case whatsoever. It knows no color.
And no boundaries.
And no boundaries. Yeah. So Patrick Boswell of Des Plaines was the victim of a tragic shooting in January 2015. He was an eighth grader at Iroquois Community School. Boswell was found shot to death between two apartment buildings near Allstate Arena in Rosemont. Police at the time called it an isolated incident between rival gang members. Patricia Fontaine, Boswell's mother and a script supervisor for Chicago PD, has been working on developing this foundation for the last year. Plans include, you know, public service announcements, outreach programs for school-age children. And so the launch event tonight was at the Chop Shop on North Avenue here in Chicago. So they provided really everything for this group. And here's what I thought was cool is, you know, LaRoyce Hawkins plays a Chicago police officer on Chicago PD, and the cast of a lot of the cast members from Chicago PD and Chicago Fire and Chicago Med all showed up. Actually, Eric LaSalle from ER was there as well. It was really quite an ensemble of
folks. Haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah, right. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did a little meet and greet, but you know, I wasn't quite sure how this was going to go. And Patricia, Patrick's mother, spoke on stage, very, you know, to the group about exactly what happened and why she wanted to change things. And you know, our legislators not doing enough to get some new gun laws out there. And by the way, gun laws in the effect of, she too, like myself, agreed that everyone has a right to bear arms. I have no issue with that whatsoever. I can't hold on one second here.
I cannot see anything going on in the studio. Roger, talk amongst yourselves.
That's okay. All right, because if you're watching online, if you're not watching online, Dave rose from his chair and reached across, almost pulling his shoulder out of the socket to grab a computer screen that he needs in front of him to be able to see.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And given that Dave is now in his advanced years with glasses, needed to move the monitor just a tad closer.
Thank you.
And now back to our regular program.
Thank you. Back to you. Back to you. So, you know, she talked about, you know, this is a celebratory evening because we're going to use what happened to him to get some awareness out there. But, you know, she told the story of what happened and the day that it happened. And I can't even fathom what happened and how it happened. So,
and how she has to relive that every day of her life.
Well, that's what she said. She gets up every morning, you know, starting a new day, and she realizes that, and she said, I had a great life. And, you know, and then it just hits me, you know, like a boulder that he's gone. And again, this is one of hundreds, thousands that have happened in this country. So, you know, but for what they did tonight, to at least, I mean, the room was jammed with people. And, you know, it's a great step to take, but, you know, the best example to lead is not. I hear people talking about this all the time, that we need tougher laws to buy guns. Let me tell you something. The people that are getting these guns are not buying them in a store. They're not going across the border. They're not going anywhere else. They're getting them underground on the street. So don't give me that crap that that's the way to control guns in America.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I actually think that if more people, responsible people, had them legally in their possession, that they probably would have become heroes in a lot of these situations where there's a gunman shooting out there. But the best way to obviously resolve this is to some tougher gun laws, some tougher when you are arrested for you know, violating these laws, is to put you away and put you away for a good long time, to set an example and get these people off the streets. And I've heard former Superintendent McCarthy say it. I've heard our current superintendent say it, that's the way to do that. And I agree wholeheartedly. So if you want any more information about this, it's patrickliveson.org, a great new organization that has just begun. So NFL, I'm looking at this morning on Fox News, ESPN. Yep, we're going to talk Bears with Patrick McCaskey in a little bit. But NFL bracing for possible player national anthem protests on 9/11.
Yep.
Okay, today's 9/11.
Yep.
15th anniversary. So the National Football League is bracing for possible widespread player demonstrations during the national anthem at Sunday's opening games in what would mark a high-profile escalation of a protest movement over concerns of racial injustice in America. The games fall today, of course, on September 11th, terror attacks, which the NFL plans to commemorate with appearances by military personnel, first responders, and two U.S. presidents.
Mm.
That backdrop could further animate a fierce national debate set off last month by quarterback Colin Kaepernick's refusal to stand for the national anthem. So, Kaepernick said, "I'm not going to stand to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color." Broncos linebacker Brandon Marshall, a former teammate of Kaepernick at the University of Nevada, knelt during the first national anthem at the regular NFL season. In response to this, which I think it's a good thing, and I'll explain that in a minute, Marshall lost his endorsement deal with the Air Academy Federal Credit Union, which was chartered in 1955, per their website, to serve the cadets, officers, and civilians of the Air Force Academy. And then star player of the women's U.S. national soccer team in Seattle chose to kneel during the anthem before a game last Sunday. And Spirit owner and Air Force veteran Bill Lynch made the decision to play the anthem early at the next match against her team in order to deny her the chance to protest again. I think there's a place and a time to talk about this. And you can do, you know, I know that Kaepernick, his jersey sales rocketed rather than plummeted, correct?
Yes.
And after the athlete pledged to donate his first $1 million of his salary to organizations committing to helping inner city communities, 49 owner Jed York decided to match that donation. So that's something he could have done to begin with.
Correct.
Then disrespect America and the American flag. And I say this because, especially on 9/11, when we all stood together, and you remember, there was no politics, Roger, on 9/11.
No.
And the months, and really the couple years surrounding that, nobody cared. You know, we were still reeling from the fact that President Bush got into office with all the, you know, the hanging chads and the ballots and everything else. All that went away that day when we all came together.
Mm-hmm. We all came together, but there were still moments which still upset me, where some of the politicians tried to politicize it.
Yeah, of course.
And that still sticks in my throat, because it took away from what everybody was trying to do to help each other and to get through the crisis. And of everything that happened that day, that still bothers me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but I will tell you something. If you read, there was something that I had Joey pull. It was in Politico.com that had the day that President Bush was on Air Force One, really in the air for hours because the Secret Service kept. No, it was him quoted as saying, "We're the only plane in the sky."
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Yeah,
and the impact of that day, and I read the whole thing this morning. It took me about an hour, really, to get through all the transcripts because it was everybody's recollection of what happened that morning. There wasn't a lot of political posturing going on that plane that day. The care and concern was for the country. So here we have all of the people that we lost in the Twin Towers. We have the first responders that came when the first tower was hit that lost their lives. We have the people that have lost their lives afterwards because of the air quality and the situation that was happening in Ground Zero. We have all the people that have sacrificed their lives in Iraq and sacrificed their lives in Afghanistan over this, including a very good friend of mine, Captain Shane Mahaffey. He was up north. He was a lawyer in Waukegan, two young children. He was in the reserves. He was sent to Iraq, and within 8 or 9 weeks, he was on the ground in Iraq and was killed by a roadside bomb. So we think about all the sacrifices that were made, and then we've got these idiots who on this day specifically, when we need to honor those fallen, and that American flag of ours does represent those people that have served our country, and they're going to protest in that way on this day, I think they should be fined. I think they should be removed from what they do. I hope they lose endorsement deals. I think it's ridiculous. You want to jump into the conversation, by the way, 312-981-7200. Joey, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's really interesting, and I understand that 9/11 is a tough day, obviously, in American history, and obviously to have a protest like this occur, and I get that, but what I've kind of seen through all of this is the idea that I don't really think Kaepernick had the military in his mind, and I think it was more the idea of going against an anthem, a song that's supposed to represent what the country stands for, the values they have, and he saw that the values simply weren't being followed through and weren't being executed correctly in his mind, and I think his position is more against that and a social issue versus the military, and so that's why it's a difficult double-edged sword here, or kind of a middle area, because it's latched onto this idea of the military, which I understand because that's a big part of how we celebrate the country, but I think his angle was different, and by marrying the two it is a difficult slope to go down.
It is. Roger, any thoughts on that?
It's I'm conflicted because this country guarantees the right of free speech, self-expression. Obviously, society tells you you don't yell fire in a crowded theater when there isn't any. That's just common sense. But in America, we have the right to say and believe in what we want to. People need to have common sense also. Is this the right time and place for Kaepernick and others to express their beliefs? I don't think so.
But you said
there's better ways. How about instead of kneeling, how about if he goes out? You mentioned he's donating money, but how about if he goes out with his teammates and goes out in the community during the week and does work with those at-risk kids?
Absolutely, and the fact that he donated the first $1 million of his salary, that should have been done first. That is the biggest awareness campaign to say, you know what, I'm going to take, and you think about what these guys make.
Tons.
You know, that this is how I'm going to make a difference. That's a way to do that. I think that, you know, and I'm not sitting here like a big flag waver, you know. But it does represent, especially on this day on 9/11, the sacrifices that were made, the people that we've lost, not only in the Twin Towers, but those first responders and those military personnel in Iraq and Afghanistan, it is a disrespect to them. And you know what? I'm sure you saw the Time Magazine report and the Chicago Tribune report about really, you know, what has been highlighted as these, and they are isolated shootings in Chicago and around in New York and around the country, that it, when you look at police officers and who's been shot, it is more white than black that have been shot, and a majority of them, after investigations, that they were either they had a gun on themselves, they were shooting at police, that the proper response of the police department was made. So you look at the percentage of people that are killed on the street every day, it's not by the police. And so now all of a sudden it's become a major racial issue. And I do understand, believe me, that there are some majority of our police officers, I've said this before, majority, 95, 98% do their jobs well. They do them every day. They work hard. They make sacrifices every single day. And yes, there are some bad apples like there are in every single
profession.
Yeah. Exactly. And those people that violate those laws, those police officers will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And that is true. But this has become really a different issue. And I think on 9/11, I think we got to take a look at this a little differently on how this is done. You know, you can hold press conferences before games. You can do it afterwards. You can do it during the week. I don't know if disrespecting another group or the American flag or what it stands for when you're paying these people that much money to be an example to, you know, our children and so forth. I'm not quite sure this is the right way to do that.
If it wasn't 9/11 this weekend and this was more of a movement last week or next week, or if it was a different day in the calendar, is the same thought in your head in terms of it still showing that disrespect?
I think today more uniquely is an issue for me. You know, I guess they have anyone has a right to do those things and you write freedom of speech. I think I personally would still have a problem with it.
Okay.
Just because I have lost friends that have served and know what that symbol means to us and to the military, out of respect to them, I think that is the wrong approach. I think there's different ways, especially when you have that type of celebrity on a team and that type of power that you have, I think there's different ways to do that without disrespecting another group.
Because when you're at the Hawks game or a Cubs game and you're standing for the anthem, is the first thought in your head respect to military, or is it
very
the idea
often
of song?
Very often, because you know you go to a Blackhawks game and what you see is Jim Cornelison with a military veteran and a current military veteran. You see something very similar at Wrigley Field, and that military veteran comes out later in the game for a standing ovation for their service. But you know, you're kind of you're applauding all military veterans and those, you know, through the USO and so forth. So yeah, I do somewhat associate that with American pride and American spirit. And I understand that they have a right to say, you know, well, there's issues in this country. I'm not quite sure that's the way to go about it.
Because that's the difficult thing is thinking about, well, how do you view the anthem? Is it a song that's American pride and just you sing it to celebrate, or is it an ode more to people who have fought, lost their lives?
I think it's probably both. I think it's probably a little bit of both.
And so that's where it's just it's interesting to me, and that's why I didn't mean to play, you know, devil's advocate in the beginning, but it's the take on the other side of where Kaepernick's coming from, of this idea of that maybe the military isn't first in his mind. It's this ode to America. And while the military is involved, it's almost saying whatever they're fighting for, those freedoms aren't being executed on the other end here. And that's maybe that stance.
847 says, amen, a radio personality who gets it. Thank you, brother. Any athlete who protests by not standing to honor America in 9/11 is in direct disregard and disrespect for what the flag stands for and what it means to the thousands of people who lost their lives on that day. And all those people who were affected, the right to protest is a freedom of speech, yes, but not on this day, not now, not ever thank you. So,
and here's another thing. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, there's people on both sides, and there's many different sides to it, as we've already discussed. But think about what this country represents. Not only is it freedom of speech and freedom to live as we choose and freedom to believe in what we want to believe, which you can't get in most of the world.
Well, that's a very good point. Yep, of course.
Right.
Of course.
And so that flag represents those freedoms.
Much
and
more.
One of those freedoms is to be able to play a professional sport. Obviously, you have to have the talent and the strength. But to play a professional sport and have gobs of money thrown at you to do that, you can't get that in 90% of the world.
That is so true.
They play sports in other countries, but they don't have the freedom to make money off of it. They often play for less than living wages, and that represents something else. So his ability to do what he does for that amount of money, there's something wrong with that you're kind of slapping
the freedoms that you have. I'm hanging it up too much on the military, but I will say that is you are absolutely correct that there are freedoms that you have as an American that flag does represent, including free speech. But I think what you just said is these people make millions and millions of dollars, and they already have the attention of the American public. There's different ways to do that than on the football field kneeling down. And again, I think it's up to companies that endorse them or they have endorsement deals with to change that and make an impact there as well.